Today in the OG Boys podcast, we talk predictions.
What's yours?
Giving it all this.
Transfer rumours.
I think he needs to look at himself in the mirror and just sort of think.
And a whole load of African Cup of Nations.
And a whole load of other nonsense.
The question I just asked is what I'm asking you.
Gallagher is a good player, but he's not a great player.
Hello and welcome back to the OG Boys podcast. Thank you guys for watching the return as all the feedback, and it was lovely, to be honest. It's great being back. How are you feeling, you know, being
Happy
back?
Happy New Year.
Oh, okay.
Don't forget about that.
I wasn't going to, but I was going to come to that, but he's beat me to it.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year, everyone.
I know we said Happy Christmas last week, but I hope everyone had a good festive period. How was your happy?
I'll just do what you did. Did you like the podcast last week? Just disregard my question. I'll go... back to yours. You didn't even know.
What did he just question me on?
I said straight away, I introduced it and I said, so yeah, what did you think about being back in the podcast? And
I swear you didn't say that.
I did, and you clearly weren't listening.
Babe, do you want a cut?
I like it.
I legit, I swear on my life, like I did not.
I looked at him and said, yeah, so how have you gone back to the podcast? How's it been back to the podcast?
Oh, I think I thought you was talking to the viewers.
Yeah, there's one person in the room and he's just like... Oh,
yeah, but you were talking to the viewers. Like,
I was looking at you.
Yeah, but Happy New Year.
I didn't say that. I said about the podcast. You said, yeah.
Are we arguing 2 minutes into the podcast? I don't even know what's going on. Would you like to start the podcast again?
No.
Okay, we'll keep this in.
It's a natural start.
Natural brotherly love.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so how are you doing? How is it being back in the podcast?
How was the first podcast, what you're asking me?
The question I just asked is what I'm asking you.
Okay, so, right.
That's all.
The first podcast was good. It was a bit weird initially. I thought we got into the flow, like, rather this time we've started flowy. Like, I thought we started a touch slow, if I was going to be brutally honest with myself.
Yeah.
Thought it's just getting back to podcast recording, getting back to the back and forth, getting back to sitting here chatting absolute shite. But then I thought it got better as it went on. And yeah, I thought it was good. What about you?
No, I'm exactly the same as you. It was a bit... You know, it's just a bit nervous being back in front of the camera, you know, just chatting shit live. You know, I'm the biggest talker, you know me. So it's a bit weird. But, you know, today I'm feeling a bit better, you know, feeling a bit up for it. And I'm excited, you know, just chat shit about football. Well, listen to you chat shit, I should say.
Sorry.
Because, you know.
Listen to me chat shit.
Yeah.
Who knows more about football?
No, but that doesn't mean you don't chat shit.
It doesn't mean you...
I just don't talk about it because I don't know enough.
So you have zero knowledge, but I have loads of knowledge, but chat shit.
Exactly.
Okay, moving on.
Okay, yeah, so let's just jump straight into this. What is currently happening in the football world right now? There's some big things that have started off this January kind of, I would say the transfer window, but we'll get onto that later. It's kind of some big things that happened. And as you may have seen, Liverpool were, you know, just absolutely destroyed Newcastle, I would say.
I think destroyed is a kind word.
Yeah, okay, I thought that was going to be quite harsh, but yeah, I think it was impressive. Did you see they... got the record for the highest XG in the Premier League?
Ever recorded?
Ever recorded. Since it's been recording.
Are you sure Man United haven't beat that before?
The other way around, yeah. But yeah, so they absolutely done it. Salah got me some good FPL points, and
really?
I love that. Yeah.
Captain him?
No.
Oh.
So it wasn't great. But yeah, no. Did you watch it?
Yes. Watched it live. Watched the game. Thought Liverpool were very good, but I have a little bit of a... What's the word? A little bit of a curiosity, is that the word? I don't know if that's the correct word, but I'm a little bit worried for Liverpool.
Why?
Not in like a, oh, they're bad worried, but as in, they weren't clinical enough.
Yeah, because they had like 34 shots
or something. Yeah, and this is my point. Yes, they ended up scoring, what was it, 4 goals.
Yeah.
Was it the penalty for Jota is a dive?
Oh, that was terrible.
Like, he's literally, yeah, he's got touch, right? If he goes down initially, it's fine.
Yeah.
But he's got touch and he goes, oh, I'm just going to stand up and just walk a little bit and then bang, see you later. Like, what's your thoughts on that?
No, I saw something about that. He's like, Jota had an open goal, but he had Salah in his FPL. So he thought, you know what, Salah's penalty taker. He's going to redeem himself.
Mate.
So it's ridiculous. He should have just finished it easy.
Mate, he brought out his inner Tom Daley. Like, yeah. It was pure divage. And I saw people like, I think Ian Wright tweeted like it's got to something along the lines of, it's got to the time where someone would rather dive for a penalty than actually score an open goal. Like,
yeah.
It was crazy. But I don't know if you saw the Luis Diaz one is arguably a dive as well. He also gets touched, but he steps and then falls.
Oh, what? The first one, Salah missing.
But with a Salah penalty. So the reason why I say is Liverpool should be more clinical is because, for example, against United, they weren't very clinical, 0-0 at home to the big boys. You know, we can't all beat the big boys, that's fine. But anyway, the reason why I say this is because they are, like I say, we have to say now they are title contenders. They're top of the league, you have to say it. Although I think, actually, I'll come on to my predictions shortly.
Whoa.
Nearly got a little bit too excited. But the reason why I say it is because, especially with Salah going to the AFCON,
yes.
like Liverpool have to start taking these chances because they were playing a poor Newcastle side. Newcastle have won seven out of their last, no, sorry, have lost seven out of their last eight fixtures, right? They're playing a poor Newcastle side with what, 34 shots, did you say? Something like
34
that?
34 shots Liverpool had.
Yeah. So, and the goals that they actually scored was, I think it was two cross, again, it's no, it, it goals a goal.
Oh,
but
yes.
Two sort of, I call them tramp goals on FIFA, sweaty
yeah.
goals,
yeah.
A penalty, and I can't even remember the other one, but it doesn't stand out in my brain, which means I'm sure it wasn't anything like electric. But what the reason why I say this is because in the run-in against the top sides, the chances that you get, you have to take. And it does also come down to that bloody crazy Darwin Núñez, who, again, just like, it's like when he's through on goal, it's just like there's, I don't know, I just don't get it, right? How can you be so good, but also just so not composed? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but he just smacks at the keeper a lot of the time as well.
Like,
in that game he did, obviously, but yeah.
But that's my point. It's like, you're in on goal, you've done, like, he always does the hard bit, like, yeah. And he scores, like, or when he does score, he'll score the goal that you, like, don't expect him to score. And I think it's because players like him, I used to think about players like Danny Welbeck, he reminded me of that, of then, when they have too much time, they like, think too much and they end up missing their chances, whereas when they just sort of have to think of sort of impulse, or what's the word, like, think of, like, just, it's just like natural reaction.
Yeah, yeah,
you're just like,
yeah.
Oh, the ball's here, shoot.
Yeah.
It goes in.
Yeah, once I think you overthink and it just goes downhill. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's my point. And I think, to be honest, if they want to stay at the top of the league, they have to take their chances because, in my opinion, City will come back.
Yeah.
Kevin De Bruyne's about to be fit, but I don't want to say, don't want to go into my predictions.
He is. Okay, that is big. But you mentioned about the AFCON. And you said about Salah leaving. And I don't really hear this much about, you know, how the AFCON will impact players and the teams and everything. But so I kind of did a bit of research and I looked at what teams are actually going to be impacted the most.
Okay.
And who is actually not impacted at all by the AFCON.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you a little, just, there's three teams
yep.
in the league that have, you may have actually seen this on the structure, but there's three teams that have no players that are leaving for the AFCON or Asia Cup.
Asian Cup, yeah.
So do you know those three teams?
Yeah, it's Burnley, City, Newcastle.
Damn it, okay.
Do my preparation.
Yeah. He saw it, that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah. Prep. So yeah, for the viewers, it's Burnley, Man City, and Newcastle have no players that are away for the AFCON or the Asian Cup. So
can I just say, arguably, those are the three teams that have no excuse that
they
shouldn't be affected by AFCON Asian games, because, for example, Liverpool lose Salah, then
yeah, that's a big player. So the Liverpool lose Salah and Endo.
Yeah.
So are they starters for them? Exactly.
Well, yeah. Endo. Salah started every game. Endo's been starting recently all the time.
Exactly. So that's two players that are going to impact them quite a lot. And then there's also, I mean, Arsenal have got two players, Elneny and Tomiyasu.
Tomiyasu's a good player.
Exactly, but Elneny,
no,
is just one player. And then there was one Aston Villa.
Yeah.
But Bertrand Traore, is he a starter for Aston Villa?
So
they're in the running. So they're, I mean, I don't think they'll be fine with it, with one player leaving. And there's, I mean, there was, who else was it? I think it was Tottenham.
Tottenham have got a few players going.
They had three players. It was Son, Sar, and Bissouma. But isn't
that big?
Isn't someone injured? One of them.
Sar got injured. Obviously, Son's their top goal scorer.
Yeah.
Basuma's been brilliant this year. He's been starting most of their games. Sar's been starting most of their game when he's been fit, but he's had injury problems, I think, as well.
Yeah.
But that is massive. So for me, the biggest teams that are going to suffer is Tottenham and Liverpool. I'm going to give a little shout out to Crystal Palace, because Jordan Ayew is apparently going away. According to your research that I used.
Yes.
Jordan Ayew is going away. And I don't know if you saw this, a little fun stat for the fans out there. In the calendar year of 2023, Jordan Ayew actually had the most dribbles in Premier League. That completed
really?
The most dribbles. Which you'd have never, if I said that question, you'd have never guessed it.
I would never have guessed it. No, not at all.
And I think
successful dribbles.
Oh, I can't remember. I don't want to claim it was successful, but I think it was.
Okay.
And anyway, the reason why I say that is because he's actually an underrated player for Palace, who I think are already struggling. And with the news in recently that Elise's just been injured, you've done his hamstring, losing Jordan Ayew as well, I think they could just be not relegated, but, you know, just tinkering about now.
No, I get that. But for as a United fan, are you sad that Onana will be away?
Yes. And I've actually got a good reason for this. So I was doing my preparation for this podcast, you know, putting in the hard yards. Why is that funny?
I don't know, carry on.
You know what I mean? Putting in the hard yards for the OG Boys fans, right? And I was looking at, Mikey sent me a structure of what we're going to talk about just so I can do a little prep and make sure I'm not talking shit.
He's allowed to do that.
Yeah, anyway. So we've got a backup goalkeeper called Altay Bayinde, right?
Bayer.
And he is from Do you know anything about him?
No.
Okay. He is from Fenerbahce, and he's meant to be really good, right? But my worry is, okay, I'm not worried that Andre Onana's going unless this Bayern deer cannot play the same way Onana can play.
Oh, yeah.
Because he Onana has made it, so now teams don't press us at the goalkeeper because they know he's too good with his feet. So if they press him, he's just going to hit a ball 30 yards, wherever, play it to his teammates. And if Bayern deer can't play that style of football, then Man United are going to have to, again, transform back to like how we used to play under the De Gea, where they just press the keeper and we'd be screwed. But that's my worry. If we have to change the way we play.
Oh, yeah, you don't really want that if you're getting to a rhythm, you know?
Yeah.
But then, I mean, we can't forget about the other two leaving United for the AFCON.
Okay, here he goes, gone.
You've got Amrabat, yeah, your favourite player.
He's been pretty fucking useless.
Then there's Amad Diallo.
Yeah, but I mean, it's hard because he's just come back from injury.
We did
more against Notts Forest than Anthony, but that's not fucking hard.
Oh, talking about Notts Forest, they've got six players out.
Yeah, but
they've got about 100
players in their squad.
Yeah, they're the most out of any team that have got.
Oh, so if Notts Forest are in trouble, we.
Oh, yeah. We'll see.
Go on, name them.
I will name them because I wrote them down.
You missed it. Go down. It was Aurier.
Aurier, Boley, and Sangara.
Sangara.
I was close. And then. Oh, do you want to give them a go?
I want to hear you saying these names.
Kayute.
Piate.
Nikate.
Nikate. Nikate. And Aina.
Yeah. They're all away for the AFCON.
Sorry, Notts Forest, for the pronunciation.
Yeah, you know me. I don't know enough players, but I was going to say something I am quite sad about. Clearly, I'm really upset about is Jackson is leaving for the AFCON to Chelsea. Oh!
No, carry on, because I actually wrote something down about this.
And Jackson. The top scorer for Chelsea is leaving.
I think it might do them a favour.
I was going to say the same.
I literally think it might do them a favour. I just don't, like I say, I don't rate him. I've never rated him. I don't think he's very good. And I think having him not there just means that you can't play him. You've got no excuse to play him. He's a 40-50 million pound player that you sort of have to play because he's just come in, big fee. It's like now it's no excuse. And I think, right, Todd
Boehly over here right now.
What is he
I'm going to go out there and I'm going to splash 100 million big bucks on Ivan Toney.
No way.
Ivan Toney.
Yeah, I think he'll go to Chelsea though. No, but all that talk about Arsenal.
Yeah, but Kate, tangent. I don't think he fits Arsenal's sort of philosophy.
Okay. But how would you know? He hasn't been playing for 8 months or whatever it is.
Whoa.
No, but it's true. Everyone knows that.
I was trying to make a bet joke there, but I couldn't think I was going to say, like, do you want to bet?
Yeah,
no. No, I just think Arsenal play the sort of interchangeable sort of front three. Like, even Jesus can sort of go left, right, wherever. Whereas I don't think Tony's quite got that in his locker. So I don't see him going to Arsenal personally. Yeah. And then I see Todd Boehly doing the standard Todd Boehly thing and just splashing the big bucks on Ivan.
As a Chelsea fan.
Ivan.
I think he is going to do that, but I don't want him to. But then talking about Ivan Toney. In the 8 months, if he knew that he was going to be leaving when he comes back, would he not kind of train and make sure he's like those teams he wants to play? He's going to play like they're playing, that kind of thing. Would you train?
Yeah, but
to adapt.
I don't know
more?
If it's that easy to be like, oh, I'm going
yeah,
to
like work on those things that they're better at than at your club.
Maybe I get your point, but I don't think it's as easy to be like, oh, unless he knows he's going to Arsenal, but it just doesn't. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't. Yeah. It's not a thing. But Arsenal need a goal scorer, say. Chelsea need more than a goal scorer.
Yeah,
mate. You need a goalkeeper, left back, right back, centre half, CDM, CDM.
They're all injured at the moment. That's all.
Mid, right mid, left mid, right wing, left wing, striker.
Okay, yeah, we get it.
Assistant manager, coach, goalie
Whoa!
Coach, goalie coach, first team coach, Fuck physio, academy coach. What else is there?
Keep naming some star.
Linesman, referee, fans,
stadium.
No, fans is the most thing you need. Yeah.
Come on now, yeah. I mean, he's not wrong.
That's your boy. That's your boys.
Jackson's going, and I think it's great for Chelsea.
Go on, say what would you
sorry,
say?
Jackson, by the way.
No, don't be sorry. What would you say to Jackson right now? He's going, like, what's your sort of farewell message to him?
Mate, have a safe flight and fuck off! Bye!
That's fucking hard.
I know, sorry. Anyway, yeah, okay. Anyway, before we end this segment, I just want to, for those darts fans out there, the reason I put an England shirt on up there is because someone is some 16-year-old.
That Luke Littler's kit.
That's his kit, exactly. Some 16-year-old is, not some 16-year-old.
Some
16-year-old.
Just this random 16-year-old.
He made a Luke Littler. He's gone viral at the moment for being now
Red
in the final of the darts.
Yeah. Everybody exactly. Take a shot.
So good luck to him. As we are filming this, the final is tonight. So when it comes out, obviously the result will be in. But come on, Luke.
Come on, Lukey Littler.
To be fair, they're both English. So like,
oh,
it doesn't matter. He's put an England top on, like Luke Humphries isn't also English.
He's 16 and you've got to give it to him.
I mean, he's up, but mate, Luke Littler is a robot. Like, mate, this is going to sound very darty, but his cover shots are outrageous. Do you know what that means?
Yes, but for the fans, let's tell them.
Okay, basically, it's a football podcast, but darts, right? You go for the treble 20 mostly, right? If you miss the treble 20 and your dart's at a funny angle, so you can't really get into the treble 20 for your next dart, your cover shot, you come down to treble 19.
Oh, okay.
So when he misses the treble 20, his cover shot down to treble 19 is oof, is unreal.
It's great content.
So Luke Littler up the fucking Luke. Oh, he's 16. That sounds weird.
Good luck, Luke. So guys, welcome back. And in this segment, we're going to talk about the predictions for the rest of the season. You know, there's the Champions League, the Premier League, top four, relegation. We're going to go through them all and just see and explain why we
you forgot about
those things.
What? You forgot about the most prestigious competition in Europe.
Tell them.
Europa Conference League and Europa League. Yeah, but Europa Conference League is a big tournament.
Huge. Why is that?
And EFL Cup. You forgot about that. That's your team are in that as well.
Yeah.
Not confident, are we?
No.
Okay.
Anyway, so we're going to start with the main one for the English.
The Europa Conference League.
No. Incorrect. The winners of the Premier League. So, Chaz.
You want me to go first?
Who do you think is going to win the Premier League? Give us a little bit of a reasoning.
It begins with M and ends in R. Manchester. Manchester City.
Yeah, I know that.
And my reasoning is pretty simple. Because everyone can beat everyone, basically.
Yes,
the level, I think personally, it's a mix of the level of all the team's quality is high, but in comparison to the teams that are usually at the top, there's not like a gap. So back in the day, you used to get like Man United, Arsenal, like I'm talking back in day, where you had like these two teams that were just always at the top. And then you had a gap between like the teams that were going to be below them. This year, there's just not really a gap between all the teams are still really good, but there's not really a gap between all the teams at the top. And I just don't think that anyone bar City can put together a streak of like 10, 15 games winning. If you look at City, they've got Kevin De Bruyne, who's just about to be back fit. He was back in the squad the other day. You've got Haaland, who's going to be back fit in the next week or so. And they've got no players, like we mentioned earlier, no players going to the AFCON. Salah, for example, Salah's going to the AFCON, like we said. Liverpool are currently the biggest title contenders. I think that for the first year of their squad, since they've had all those new midfield signings, I just don't see any other team. Arsenal bottled it already, bottled a few games. I just don't see any team being able to do what City can do. And it's funny because I think City currently sit in fourth whilst we're recording this podcast. And I fully
third at the moment.
I'm third. Because of Arsenal fourth then.
They're joint points, Man City. Yeah, I'm guessing have more goal difference, but they're a game in hand as well.
See, and I just fully think that when you watch them, even though they've dropped points this year, like when you watch them and they're in their full flow, they still just look better than any team that I've seen play. And I just think that for me, like I say, if Kevin De Bruyne can come back from this injury like he usually does and perform like he usually does, what I mean by that is perform to his levels, him and Haaland, and then we haven't really even seen Kevin De Bruyne with Doku yet. Imagine
that's
that pacing behind and Kevin De Bruyne's passes and stuff like that with Haaland. Those three could be literal filth. So I'm going to flip it back to you.
Yep.
So obviously I'm a Man City fan. I'm definitely not a Man City fan. I'm a Man City predictor. Who do you think is going to win the Premier
League? I'm predicting Liverpool because they currently sit at the top. And also, obviously, it depends on AFCON, how they perform without Salah. And like you said in the previous segment about how they can't actually finish
their dinner,
basically. Yeah. And the game against Newcastle, but if they can end up doing that without Salah, maybe other people get a bit more of an opportunity. Maybe they start putting it away, winning more of their games, and they're obviously at the top of the league right now.
Yeah.
So I can see them just going all the way, but then it's going to be like City do every year. They'll have a winning streak, and the latter half of the season they'll just come and just perform basically.
I think the thing is as well, people forget that Liverpool have only lost one game this year.
That's so true.
Lost one game, and that was that controversial game. Do you remember when Tottenham they went down to nine men against Tottenham and they conceded an own goal in the last minute and then Luis Diaz offside goal that wasn't offside. So they only
the game they lost.
Yeah, so they've only lost one game this year. So like, don't get me wrong, Liverpool are fully up there, but I think just City are just too good. They've got too many experienced players and they've done it before and they'll probably do it.
So that's meaning that City are Liverpool are going to lose a few games then. They probably have to.
Yeah, they do have to. Like, that's just the way it is, but City will just win those games. I'm not necessarily saying that Liverpool will lose many games. They might draw a few games away. They've got to come away to Old Trafford. Tough game for some. And I just think City, if you look at City, I think City have already played, they've already played Arsenal away, which is probably one of the biggest fixtures for them.
Yeah.
They've already played Man United away. They've got us at home. They've got Arsenal at home on the run in. Have they played Liverpool yet? I don't know off the top
of
my head.
They played Chelsea, they drew. That was
At Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
So again, another game at home at the Etihad against another big team.
Yeah, fine.
And to be honest with you, when City are on their form, I don't think it matters whether they're at home or they're away. I just think when they're on their form that they can just beat anyone, to be honest.
No, I completely agree. And with that, if you think City are top, then who do you think will be in the top four?
Okay, so I've got my top four here. And as you can probably guess from what I was explaining, like the title winner, Liverpool second. Yeah. Arsenal, third. I've changed from my pre-season prediction. I had them fourth. And I'm going to have Manchester United squeezing.
Shut up.
No, listen. Right. I don't want to have to go on and on and on, right? It was tough to get in
this. This is ridiculous.
No, shut up. They are coming forward. And I'll tell you why. Okay? So our fixtures so far have been like, we played the bigger games away from home so far, right?
Okay.
So we've had Anfield away. We've had Emirates away. We've had Newcastle away. We've had Chelsea at home, to be fair. We've had City at home. But there's like three of our big fixtures against the top sides that are away from home, right? We lost them all correct, right? But our home form, historically, and especially last season, is way better than our away form. So what I think is we've had all these injuries for the first half of the season. All these players are meant to be coming back halfway through January, right? And we've got a more friendly run in than a lot of other teams. That I think once all these players come back fit, we get a little bit of a run going. All the games are at home, so they're less likely to lose them. We might draw them, but we're less likely to lose them than we were if we were away from home. I just think we might sneak it. And there's another reason. Villa have got the Conference League.
Yeah.
Obviously, West Ham, I'm not even talking about West Ham in this conversation. Yeah, so they're up there at the moment, but they're going to fall. I don't even need to, do you know what I mean? Newcastle are below us. Brighton will do similar maybe to what they did last year. They might become sixth or seventh. Tottenham are the ones that I would have to worry about the most nicking that fourth spot, because I think Villa will drop off because of Conference League, and Tottenham, obviously Chelsea aren't in the conversation, and Tottenham are in there, but Tottenham have had a fair few injuries, so if the injury crisis continues, and obviously with Son away and things like that we spoke about, but the AFCON, they could be in trouble. So I think we sneak it. Sneak, you know, when you slide in the girls' team, you just sneak in there.
Okay, so let's just to clarify, number one is City. Second is Liverpool. Third is Arsenal.
My top four. Number one, City. Number two, Arsenal. Number three. No, I've just said that wrong. My top four. Number one, City. Number two, Liverpool. Number three, Arsenal. Number four, Man United.
Clip that, please.
What's yours? Right. Giving it this. Giving it all this.
Mine.
Chelsea.
Yeah, Chelsea top. No, Liverpool, as I mentioned first. Man City second, obviously.
Yep.
And then... You're going to...
He's going to say like fucking...
Disagree. Burn, no, third, Aston Villa.
Really?
Aston Villa, because obviously we spoke about AFCON, they've only got one player away and he's not a starter, so they're not going to be impacted this month. They can win a fair few games. I haven't seen the fixtures, so that is obviously... And comparing that to like, I don't know, say Liverpool, who may lose a few games this month because of Salah. You never know.
Yeah.
Because they can't finish like we spoke about. But yeah, so Liverpool... First, Man City second, Aston Villa third, and then I put Arsenal fourth.
You think Villa will finish behind above Arsenal at the end of the year? Just to clarify.
Yeah. They're already 2 points ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to give you, this is my, I'm just like, we're going opinion.
Shut up, United.
Here. Yeah, we're just fighting against opinions here. But my point is like, so Villa have played City at home. Yeah. And Arsenal at home.
Yeah.
So they've got to play those reverse fixtures away from home. I think personally, for me, that's probably two losses already.
Nah.
I just think, I looked at Arsenal's fixtures as well. Arsenal's running isn't terrible, isn't it? It's just sort of medium. Like, I wouldn't say it's easy or bad or hard. It's sort of in the middle. I just think Villa, the likelihood of them having a fully fit side for the whole entire year, unless they can add some squad depth, they don't have enough squad depth. If they get a few injuries, they could be struggling, because all you need is a couple of those players to get injured and their whole sort of, do you know what I mean? Their whole run can become very, very difficult. I think, for example, Watkins gets injured. If he gets injured, screwed. But I know it's all if, buts, and maybes, but the likelihood of you going 38-game season without one or two of your main players getting injured for at least a little bit isn't likely or suspended or whatever.
Yeah,
so I'll just fight you on that. And
I get it because and also all these top four teams we spoke about.
Yeah,
they're all in their Europe competitions as well. Yeah. Like City and Arsenal in Champions League, Liverpool Europa and Aston Villa Conference League. So it depends on how they do there. Say if Arsenal get knocked out, they probably will end up doing better because they've got less to worry about.
When Arsenal get knocked out the Champions
League. And then, to be fair, while we're on Europe, let's talk about the who we think is going to win. The big competition. The Champions League.
But that's you asking me first, yeah? Unless you want to go first this time.
Who do you think? I'll go first.
Who does Mikey from the OG Boys think is going to win
League? So we had this discussion just during the break. And we spoke about, like, we weren't sure, like, the route each team takes in the Champions League. I think it's announced once they finish the round of 16. We believe, like, don't know how it's going to go.
Yeah. So, whether you get in, like, the Euros or the World Cup, you can kind of, from the round of 16, you can see how you're going to get to the final. Whereas in the Champions League, I'm pretty sure you can only see the sort of route you're going to get from the quarterfinals onwards. Yeah. And I think it's to do with, because in the round of 16, you have to make sure you don't play a team from your country.
That makes
sense. I'm a football nerd.
That makes sense. So, yeah, with that, I just put the final. I think it'll be Bayern versus City, and I think City will win it.
Oh, so you're thinking City win the Champions League
twice
in a row?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
Right, what about you?
Yeah, City.
There we go.
No, I said pre-season. I think City will win it. I think the trouble that they'll have is that Real Madrid are Champions League merchants. They're just like, they could be playing terrible. A team could be dominating them, and suddenly they'll just score twice in the last 2 minutes and they'll be through.
Yeah.
I think the fact that they've got Jude Bellingham, the problem Real Madrid will have is they don't have that star striker anymore. The Benzema's gone. So I don't think they'll win the Champions League because of that. I think Bellingham will carry them very far. I wouldn't be surprised to see them go out.
Maybe
the semi-finals or something like that. But I think it's going to be City, but if I was a City fan, I'd be most worried about Bayern simply because of Harry Kane and Thomas Tuchel knows how to win the Champions League.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. It was very tough between Bayern and City because of Harry Kane this season. So
you bring Harry Kane, you bring in the world, in my opinion, the best striker in the world, above Haaland, above whoever you want to say. It's just, and he is outrageous. And Bayern are always there or thereabouts, and that's before they had Harry Kane. I know they had Lewandowski, but even without Lewandowski, they're always there, thereabouts. It's just whether they can get through those big fixtures. I think Harry Kane just... He gives you that extra bit of quality. From a small chance turns into a big chance because of how good he is.
Oh, I completely agree with that. He's unbelievable. And so moving on to the Europa League. I think we're both in agreement with this one.
Yep. Galatasaray. Yeah. Oh, no. Galatasaray? No.
Nah, I'm joking. Liverpool.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, the only reason why Liverpool won't win it, in my opinion, is if they are fully in the Premier League. Like, it's like, what, April, May time, and they're fully in the Premier League title race. They're first. City are like, I don't know, 3 points behind them. And then they kind of just go, I know, we've got to prioritise the Premier League because it's the Premier League. Do you know what I mean? Like,
they've already guaranteed a Champions League spot, probably.
Yeah, they're going to get Champions League. They're probably going to come top four, so they'll get Champions League anyway. It's kind of like, do we prioritise the Premier League over the Europa League? If we had to win one or the other, what we're going to want to win, it's going to be the Premier League. That's my only if, doubt, if, but, maybe, whatever you want to call it. But Liverpool squad is pretty good as long as they stay away from injuries. And by then, Salah will be fit. And you'd imagine Liverpool to get through. I don't know if they've got a game whilst he's away in the Europa League anyway, but I think, not Salah will be fit, sorry, Salah will be back.
I don't think so, but yeah.
Salah will be back from the AFCON anyway, and there's no issues anyway. And to be honest with you, I think it would get to the point where if they don't win the Europa League, with the teams that are in it, they should win the Europa League.
Oh, absolutely. And the way they're playing, I think they definitely should win.
Yeah, it's not embarrassing if they don't, but it's more like you should go and win this competition.
Yeah, I think they probably know that as well. A lot of the Liverpool fans probably thinking the same. And going on to from the Europa League, the Conference League, and as we spoke about...
Best league?
The best, what was that?
Not the best league in the world. The best competition in the world.
Okay, yeah, debatable. As we spoke about Aston Villa doing very well in the Premier League, they are currently in the Conference League still.
Yeah.
So...
This is why I think that Villa might drop out of the top four. Like, my opinion is Villa won't come in the top sort of four because they will... what's his name? Unai Emery is a fucking Europa League merchant. Like, he's won the Europa League, I think it's 4 times. I don't know if he's actually won the Conference League, but it's easier than the Europa League.
It's only a few years old, isn't it? So
yeah, exactly. So I think that they'll win that. And I think that, again, it's hard because if Villa, say, are in the top four race and then they're also in the Europa Conference League race, do they have the depth to be playing Thursday, Sunday, and going full squad, full strength in both? Because if you win the Europa Conference League, you only get Europa League.
Yeah, so would you reckon he'll prioritise top four?
Oh, I mean, no. Because I think Villa haven't won a trophy in a long time, so I think...
But then wouldn't the fans want Champions League over Europa League?
I think the fans would take either, to be honest.
Really?
Obviously, they probably want it. Oh, yeah, if they have the choice, Europa League or Champions League, obviously they choose Champions League. But I think the fans aren't going to sit here and go, oh, fuck's sake.
I guess that's probably what he's like. He might be thinking about that. Like, will I? And that's actually a really tough one.
It's tough.
What would you do? And Aston Villa fans out there, what do you want your team to do?
Let us know, Villa fans, all two of you out there. No, that's harsh. Villa, a big club.
Anyway, before we end this segment, we haven't forgot about those lower teams in the Premier League, the relegation scraping teams.
Relegation scraping teams.
Chaz, what three teams do you think are going to get relegated from the Premier League this season?
It's actually peak, right? Because I was actually doing my preparation for this question and I was trying to figure it out and I was going, do you know what? I think Luton actually might stay up and Burnley, do you know what? They actually play good football and Sheffield United are coming 20th, like no doubt about it. But I was like,
agreed.
Burnley and Luton. And then I looked at the rest of the Premier League and I was like, yeah, Burnley and Luton, I think they could stay up. And then I looked at the rest and I was like, yeah, but then who drops in? I was like, literally, I think the closest followers are like Everton, Brentford, Palace. And I'm like, they just have a little bit too much. And I just think that unfortunately, Luton will do really well at home, like they have been already. Mm. Burnley will carry on playing good football. But the Premier League is so, as a whole competition, the quality is so good that you can still be quite good you can still be quite a good footballing side and get relegated from the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think it will literally stay how it is right now. It will be Sheffield United in 20th, Burnley in 19th. Luton in 18th, or like I say, Luton and Burnley, either way around, okay. I don't know. I'd love to see Luton stay up just for the story. I'd also like to see Burnley stay up. Not so fussed about Sheffield United, but...
No, I don't think anyone is, to be honest.
I really think Luton can do it, but I can't give you a different team name with confidence that would swap with them. Do you know what I mean? I can't say with you confidence, like Palace. I think Palace are in trouble if they keep getting injuries to their key players like they keep doing, and if they don't get some more depth, but because Roy Hodgson is a bit of a dinosaur, so yeah. Anyway, yours. No,
I was very similar to that because, like, as it stands, we Sheffield United have 9 points as it stands, and they are out of it. They're not even getting out of this relegation zone once. I don't think. Burnley 11 points, only 2 points ahead at the moment, and Luton are 4 points ahead. And so I was with the research. Everton, I know with their 10-point deduction, they are 1 point ahead of Luton right now. Yep. I'm not sure if they have a game in hand or not. So, you know. Don't call me on
hear
that.
Him out.
but then I was debating with you, obviously, the same thing as you with Luton. You want they could get out of the relegation zone, but then who comes in?
Yeah,
and then
that's
I ended up swapping them with Brentford.
Really?
And I put if they sell Tony. If they don't keep Tony.
No, I'm not having this.
I know.
Yeah, let's have a black and white. Let's have because we can't be like, oh, if they sell, because it's like if United, if we sign, I know it's a bit extreme, but if we sign Harry Kane.
It's on the cards,
like,
you know, it's on the cards.
No, but be black or white. Will Luton stay up?
Fuck it, Luton will stay up.
What, and Brentford will go down?
Yeah, fuck it.
Wow.
So, Sheffield United last, Burnley second last, Brentford fucking relegated. Yeah,
this guy thinks Aston Villa are going to finish top four and Luton are going to stay up. If this comes true, right? If both of those come true,
yeah.
I'll do any forfeit you want. Like, any forfeit you want.
Anything.
Like, don't make it weird.
Yeah, no.
Like, I will do any forfeit you want because that, no offense, and I don't mean this disrespectfully to you, but I think Aston Villa coming top four is slightly naive. And I don't mean that as a dig. I just think you've got to look at the whole, like, the squad depth as a whole. Like, can they do it for a whole season? I just don't see it. I'd love them to, but I just don't see it. Like I said, the naivety there for me is just, look at the teams around them and the squad depth they have and the money they have and the players they have. They are just better players, but Aston Villa are just performing better at this current time.
I agree, but with the research I did, and I think they'll prioritise top four over Conference League. They're in the transfer window, which we're going to talk about a bit more in the next segment. They're looking to, you know, buy a few players for their position. You know,
you're entitled to your own opinion.
Exactly.
It'd probably be wrong, but you're entitled. No, I'm joking.
We'll see by the end of the season.
Yes.
And that was the start of the segment. So thank you very much for that, Chaz. I'm keeping that in.
pissing about.
I know. That's good from you. Okay, yeah. Brilliant. So this segment, we're going to talk about, as it's January, we're going to talk about, you know, the transfer window and what's going on. Sorry. Yeah, I know. Yeah. But
what is going on?
So basically, as you may have noticed, I'm wearing a Dortmund shirt and there's also a reason for that. Someone looks like they're going to be returning to Dortmund. And who is that someone, Chaz?
Jadon the Twat Sancho.
Yeah, so Chaz doesn't really like him.
No, I don't. I don't. I don't dislike Jadon Sancho. I dislike what he's done.
Oh, okay.
And his ego and that, all of that side of it.
No.
Do you want me to explain more about that?
I want to know. I mean, yes. Yes, please do.
I just think he will look. I was listening to TalkSport earlier actually, and Danny Murphy, Jim White, Simon Jordan. Shout
legends.
Out to be fair. They were talking about this, and I think Danny Murphy was spot on. He was saying that Jadon Sancho will eventually look back at this and he'll regret exactly what he's done. Like stepping away, like not even stepping away, sorry, just not basically throwing your ego aside to come back and play football. I've looked at this thing so many times in my head and I'm trying to figure out what's going through Jadon Sancho's brain, right? I'm like, I get you've had an argument with your boss or whatever, you disagree with him, right? But so many people would die to be in your position to play for Manchester United. And he's got the Euros coming up in the summer, right? And he could be playing for Man United, especially the form that Man United are on right now. All it takes is one player to stand out a little bit and they look like the best player on the pitch.
Yep.
And he's got the Euros coming up in the summer. If he was playing well for Man United right now, he could get back into the England squad. And there's no reason why he can't. He's got the ability. We've all seen it. But instead, he's sitting around on his arse crying about Ten Hag saying he wasn't training well. Go and fucking prove him wrong. Go and train well. Instead, he's just going to, he's trying to get his own way. He's going to fuck off back to Dortmund. He'll probably do all right, but he won't have as successful career as he should or has the potential to if he keeps his attitude. He pisses me off. His attitude pisses me off, but I don't dislike him as a person. I've never met a bloke.
No, I agree. And I think he's probably got that feeling. You know, when you've been to a place, you stayed at a place, you like a place, you know you're comfortable in that place.
Comfort zone, isn't it?
So he's like, you know what? I'll go back to there where I feel comfortable. I don't have any arguments with anyone. You know, I'm chill. They know me. I know them. He's probably going back there thinking, oh, I'll do all right. But yeah, I think it's silly. He should literally just, because in my research, I said, all you need to do is apologise.
Say sorry, mate.
Apologise for what he's done. Probably make a statement or whatever. But then just let everyone know that you want to play. But he clearly doesn't. He clearly doesn't want to play.
Mate, no one's even said he has to mean his apology, right? He could literally just say sorry to Ten Hag and lie through his teeth.
Yes.
You know I mean, like, all he has to do is say the words, I'm sorry. Like, you could lie, just like, just to play football. Surely you'd rather play football. And that just questions my intentions that he has as a player because I think he's got lucky that Dortmund are interested in getting him back, to be honest. And maybe because it's looking like it's going to be a 6-month loan deal, so Dortmund are probably thinking, oh, we haven't got too much to lose. But as a manager, why would you want to pull in a player that's going to be on high wages, that has fallen out of management before, clearly has a big ego? Why would you want to take the risk on that when you could find a different player that's not going to have all these problems? I think he's lucky. I think he needs to look at himself in the mirror and just sort of think, obviously I don't know all the ins and outs, but I'm fully on Ten Hag's side from the information that I have. And I just think he needs to look at himself in the mirror and fucking grow up. Like, yes, you're a good player. Yes, you earn a lot of money. But just think about how many people would die to be in the situation you are. Like, how many people would love to do it? And you're sitting there just crying over one little comment that your manager made, which is his choice. His job is to be cutthroat and push players out of the team when he doesn't think they're doing well enough. If Jadon has his reasons as to why he thinks Ten Hag said certain things, then fair enough. Say it to him. Have this discussion with Ten Hag. Like I say, you don't have to say sorry and mean it. Just fucking say sorry and play football. I think you're lucky you're going to Dortmund. And I think the quicker you go, the better for Man United.
Really?
Yep.
I feel like I think it's hard because, like you say, Man United aren't performing. Like, it could be, he's a good player at his peak. So, like, it could be not an easy way to make a return. But maybe he thinks that he won't even play if he does say sorry. Maybe he's like, I've got to get out of here even to start getting back into the flow of things. And for the Euros, he's obviously, I think he does. Who doesn't want to play for their country in a massive tournament?
Like, I'm not saying he doesn't want to play, but what I'm saying is the situation that he's in is like, I'm sure he wants to play for England, but he clearly doesn't care enough.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like I'd fucking, oh mate, the things I do to play for Gareth Southgate's England core. Do you know what I mean?
I thought you were going to say Man United. Probably
but,
the same.
But you know what I mean? It's just ridiculous. And I hope he goes. And I hope I hope we lose him in the summer and we get rid of him. We make as much money as possible when it's done. Because that story's been dragged out way too long. It's boring. Sancho, you're boring. You haven't shown your ability at Man United. You have left Man United as a failure. And whether people want to agree or disagree, it is a fact.
Yeah, a fair few of your wingers passionate. Are currently failures.
Whoa.
Sorry. So he's going to be, for the transfer window, it's going to be quiet for United apparently, but apart from Sancho, the main thing, he's going, basically.
Thank God for that. I mean, I wouldn't mind us signing a couple players, but are we coming on to that or do you want me to tell
no,
you?
No. I was going to say, with the research I've been doing, it doesn't look like you're actually looking for many people, but there was one place you were looking for potentially another attacking position, a striker as well.
See, I do think we need another striker because I think we should just let Martial go now. I think I don't even think we should try and recoup a transfer fee for him. To be honest, if we get one, brilliant. If we don't, again, he's boring. He's not good enough. He doesn't show the right passion, doesn't show the right attitude. He's boring. So we need a backup for Højlund. So, and that's, Rashford isn't a backup striker. He's not good enough as a striker. And I just think, yeah, we could take in a striker. But personally, I'd love to get another centre-half, another right-back, another right-winger. And obviously, if you can get a backup striker as well, then brilliant. But we don't have the money because FFP is going at us.
At you, really?
Not literally personally, but as in, if we sign big players, we're going to...
Put them on a long contract.
It's what I think they've just changed up, weren't they? And we've...
God damn it!
And we've just spent fucking 100 million on Antony, so we...
Oh, that's very true. I saw something about Varane's future as well at United. Because you're saying about another centre-back.
Yeah.
Is he going to go at the end of the year?
It's a tough one with Varane because he's clearly a very good player, but at his age, at his wages, he's obviously getting on in his career, but he's still costing Man United a fortune a week. Okay, so we don't... Okay. Basically, what's happened is we've said we're not going to renew his contract. His contract runs out in the summer because he's on 350k a week. And I've seen people on Twitter and that, and Man United fans, they're all like, oh, we've renewed Lindelof's contract, we've renewed Evans's contract, or we want to renew Evans's contract, but we don't want to do Varane. That sums Man United up. And it's like, no, we've renewed Lindelof's contract because it's affordable. We're going to renew Evans's contract because it's a backup centre-half, and again, it's affordable.
Yeah.
You do not... It's not a sustainable way to keep a club running to renew someone's that's probably on like 300 grand a week. We'll keep Varane if he agrees to lower his demands.
Yeah, true.
I think he should be our third choice centre-half behind Lissandro Martinez and a new right centre-back.
Not
whether,
Maguire.
Whether Maguire is that person and he's just come... Ooh. Back and into the team. But I think he's been brilliant recently. But I just think Varane, he's too injury prone to be relied on as our number one centre-half. Like, he's got the ability, but you can't be that injury prone and then be relied on as our number one. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. And moving on from United, I'm going to talk about Chelsea because, as we spoke about earlier, Jackson has gone to AFCON. And Chelsea are looking for a striker this window, apparently. So
yes, we are.
Is that a bit snaky?
Is that a bit what?
Snaky for Jack? He's going. You're like, now we get another one in.
Well, I mean, I don't think so, because whether he stayed or goed, I would have totally replaced Nicholas Jackson.
Yeah, to be fair. Wait, why is that, Top Bowley?
Because he doesn't score enough touchdowns for me.
But he's a top scorer of Chelsea right now.
But that's not hard.
Very true.
I think I could score more goals than part of the Chelsea squad.
I honestly think Todd Bowley in that Tottenham game could have scored a hat trick.
I mean, let's not go too far.
No, I mean, the one I want to... I'm going to get a little tangent.
No, do it.
Nicholas Jackson is... Right. I've said my part on this earlier on in the podcast. That we... Yes. I think Tony will come in. And I think
Todd Bowley will spend ridiculous numbers on
him. You think Tony is going to go to Chelsea?
I've got a funny feeling that it's going to be all the talk that he goes to Arsenal. Arsenal aren't going to be able to like coop up the feet. / I don't think he fits the Arsenal system perfectly. So I think Bowley's going to go, there's an opportunity here. I can spend loads of money because I have loads of money. Unless they've got an issue with FFP because of their spending in the...
Ooh,
summer.
Could be.
But I think Todd Bowley will find a way and he'll just go ham and he'll go, bash, here's a big feed, Brentford. We'll have Tony.
It's 100 mil. Yeah, 100 mil for him. That's what they put on him.
Todd Bowley spent...
I know, but like he's been out for like eight months plus. Yeah, like, how do you know he's going to perform?
Nah, he'll be fine. I personally think you don't lose it football ability.
No, I don't think you lose it, but like just jumping in even higher level. I know you're not higher level than Brentford, but like he is. Actually, Chelsea,
well,
probably not, to be honest. But you know, but I mean...
What I was going to say is the tangent is a lot of talk, and I'm going to direct this more to you, is that Chelsea, there's been a lot of talk, I don't know if you've heard recently, about Conor Gallagher and how he might actually leave and go to
Spurs. I don't
want
that to happen at all.
Okay, I'm going to question you on this because I again heard on the radio a brilliant point, okay? Yes, Conor Gallagher has been one of Chelsea's best players this season. Okay, personally, hasn't been difficult to be one of their best players this season because to stand out...
No, yeah, true.
Do you know what I mean? It's not been difficult. But my outlook is, right, Conor Gallagher, yes, it would be terrible for Chelsea, another academy product going to like a rival team like Mount did to Man United. But is Gallagher good enough to be in your side if you want to be a top challenging side anyway? Do you know what I mean? My point here is Gallagher is a good player, but he's not a great player. He's just a good player. If you're going to challenge for the title, you're not going to have Gallagher in your starting 11.
Why not? Why? Because
he's not good enough.
Yeah, but people say that about like Henderson for Liverpool. He's one of those players that you probably need. Because I'm not saying he's a leader. I'm saying like he's good enough. Gallagher, I think he's topping the stats for a lot of the things. I'm not sure exactly, but he's high up on the stats. He brings the energy to our team. And I know what you say about like you want to be the best, you want to perform at the best in this league. I mean, he could be definitely in the squad, I think.
Okay, maybe not start. Here's a question for you. Right, let's just like throw it out there. Gallagher, does he even get in the City squad? Squad. I'm not even sure he gets in the squad. Maybe at the moment because they've got some injuries.
Yeah, but then I don't think anyone could really get in the six.
But for example, I think Bruno Fernandes, for example, for Man United, he flies in, debatable. And for example, Saka flies into the squad. Like the top performing players at their clubs fly into that City squad. Like, yeah, whether they start or not, I don't know. For example, Salah goes straight in. Your top player from Tottenham,
I'm not saying he's a top player.
No, I'm not saying he's a top player. But my point is if you're going to get 40 million for Gallagher, you could go spend that 40 million on someone better than Gallagher. Like Gallagher, don't get me wrong, I like him as a player. I think you need runners. I think you need that sort of player in your team. But for me, if you Chelsea want to go back to the Chelsea of old, challenging for titles and stuff, yes, Gallagher's good for this moment in time, but I don't think long-term he's the answer. Like, he's playing in front of, at the most of the time, Fernandes and Caicedo?
I don't know. I think you need him. I think you need someone like that in your team because it just like, he always has that energy. Yeah, but he always has that energy. He's always like reliant. Mate, watch him next game. He's so good to watch.
But I know you brought up the Henderson thing and it's like, yes, Henderson did work for Liverpool, but I think the difference there as well is Henderson is a bigger leader than Gallagher. He comes across as a bigger leader. He's like a gaffer on the pitch. I think the thing with Gallagher is you can, with Henderson, I think it's very hard to find that leader quality in a player, right? Yeah. Whereas Gallagher might have it a little bit, but I think you could quite comfortably, easily find a replacement for Gallagher rather than Henderson as that leadership role. I don't know if it's as easy to find.
No, because I think, the talent-wise, you could find someone replacing, but not like what he does on the pitch, like off the ball and stuff. There's not many people who consistently run these players and like put these tackles in, win the ball back. Like it's like when Kante was there, he would just run and just he'd be. I'm not saying he's as good as Kante.
I was going to say, I'm not saying he's as good as Kante.
But
clip that.
He's got that kind of presence on the pitch where he's like, he's just a nuisance and he's just there. And like, none of our Chelsea players are like that.
To be honest, again, it's opinions, innit? And I just think if Chelsea want to take it to the next level, fine. You don't have to sell him. But anyway, my point is that he's not good enough to be a top. Title challenging, not that Chelsea anywhere near.
No, I get
the point of view I'm trying to make.
I hope that Gallagher proves us wrong.
I'm all for it. Yeah.
I hope so. But yeah, I mean, what else is going on in this transfer window? Liverpool don't look likely to sign anyone, according to Sky Sports.
I'd be surprised. They're quite a settled team. Everything's sort of working at the moment. It's not like they're sort of like you're looking at them and you're going strikers needed or like left wings needed. It's kind of like they're just kind of settled.
Yeah, you know it's just like. With the AFCON, you just kind of, your best player's gone, you just wait for him to then come back and just...
It's kind of like the depth they have as strikers is ridiculous anyway. So you'd like to think that they can do without Salah. I've just dropped my phone. Yeah. You'd like to think they could do without Salah for the time it is. The tough one they are going to have though is they've got, if I think I worked it out, the quarterfinals of the AFCON is the 2nd of February, right? They play Arsenal on the 4th.
Really?
Yeah, they play Arsenal on the 4th, right? So... Even if Egypt are likely to get to the quarterfinals. Yeah. Bear in mind, I'm pretty sure they got to the final last time.
Yeah.
They're likely to get to at least the quarters. Even if they go out of the quarters.
He won't be back.
Would Salah come back within 2 days to play Arsenal? Maybe. But it's, again, travelling, that's that number. So he's going to be a problem there. But the reason I guess I say it is that, like I say, we're talking about Liverpool and the transfer market. Liverpool don't need to go and replace someone like Salah, do they?
I agree, yeah. No.
But I mean, yeah, it's tough because I really think that this transfer window is going to be dull. I can't see like a big signing happening. Can you? I can't.
Depends what Chelsea do with their striker. Like you say about Tony, that's a big signing.
Yeah, it's a big signing, but it depends if Todd Boehly and his mates from Saudi decide to.
That's what I was going to move on to as well. I was going to say the Saudi Arabia. Will players be loaned from back Saudi Arabia to big top leagues?
I think the difficult one with this is I was thinking about this when I was preparing for this podcast, and I was just sort of like, I don't think there's many players that I'd want. Do you know what I mean? Like you've got like your Ruben Neves is, again, another very good player, but again, not like a great, not like a great player. And I know you can't have a great, great player in every position, but like who from Saudi do you want that's going to come over and be effective other than Ruben Neves? And even Ruben Neves, there's probably players there that I could say that I'd rather have than Ruben. He clearly doesn't have the perfect attitude towards football because he's chasing the money, which again, each their own. I can't say I'd say no, but what I'm saying is, who else? Like you got your older. Most of the players are older, or towards the end of their
careers.
Yeah,
that's true. Good point.
Again, I'm sure if they can be loaned over, then brilliant. But again, I don't really see many. There's not many people in Saudi that I'd want for Man United.
Say, like for example, I don't know Newcastle for squad depth at the moment.
Oh, absolutely, Ruben Neves.
You just go in, put him in the side, just because you need those players at the moment because injuries.
The one that I think that people should do and not look past is Bobby Firmino. Apparently, There's a rumour that his time in Saudi is not going too well. And I think there's rumours that it was like even Sheffield United are interested in him, apparently.
Mate, he'd be good at Sheffield United.
I wouldn't even think it would be a bad option for like Liverpool to even bring him back on like a 6-month loan or anything like that. I just think he's still quality. And I don't think he only left 6 months ago. You don't lose that quality in 6 months. And
no.
So like I say, I know we just said Liverpool don't need to replace Salah, but even if they bring Firmino back for like, I know it's not like for like, but it's another striker. You can push Nunes out to the left, play Diaz on the right maybe, and just play like that. I just think this Todd Boehly might be the saviour of the January transfer window.
I think so. And other than that, I think it's just Sancho leaving.
Will save you.
Todd Boehly will save us, guys.
I will save you by spending all of my hard-earned Saudi Arabian cash.
Should I have said that?
I don't really know.
Do you want to move on?
I was going to say it's coming to an end, this podcast.
Oh, no.
It's about time we end this lovely episode.
Can I ask you a question before we go?
Of course you can.
If Chelsea could sign any one player in the whole entire world in January, who would you sign?
That's pressure. Mbappe.
No, I get it, because I'd say Harry Kane from Man United. Yeah. But realistically, if Chelsea could sign anyone January transfer.
This January transfer.
Or what position? What would you go? Would it be striker?
Oh, obviously it'll be striker.
Okay, and if you get a dream one, so it could be Mbappe if you wanted to dream one. Mbappe?
I mean, I do like Harry Kane as well, but then... I was going to say Haaland, but I don't think he'd be good for us. Would he? Because we've actually got the chances, but we just can't finish. So would he just bring that, you know, that oomph to the side? You know what I mean? Like that. Boys, this is how you finish. But yeah, I mean, you know what? I'll go Harry Kane. Yeah,
yeah, as a striker. And then a realistic one, because obviously that's never going to happen.
Realistic one. There's a lot of options. Yeah, Tony is probably the most realistic.
Osimhen? Potentially realistic, Todd Boehly. Yes, but
I swear he's just signed a contract. He was in talks to sign a new contract.
130 million.
Oh, we can't do that now. No,
I can
not.
Do it. I can. I promise you right now, I can do it.
He could do it. What about you and Man United?
Obviously, I've always said it. If I could sign a dream player, still now it'd be Harry Kane. Realistically, if we could sign anyone, do you know what? I'd like to sign a right back. I said a right back, right winger, and a centre half. The centre half I'd like to sign is De Ligt. From Bayern, he hasn't played as much this year. He's already played under Ten Hag. The right back I'd like to sign is Jeremy Frimpong from Bayer Leverkusen, playing really well this year, got goals and assists. And the right wing I want to sign is a little bit out there, a little bit different. And I just like the look of him when I watched him, and he's the Chiesa from Juventus.
Oh, yes.
I don't think he's really lit up the Serie A from what he's capable to do. I think he's a brilliant player. So I think Man United should try and Chiesa, Frimpong, and De Ligt.
That's some good ball knowledge, to be fair. Didn't actually think about those players. But yeah, I like that. Good transfers.
He said I was talking shit earlier, and then he just said good knowledge.
He is also chatting shit.
Whoa.
All the time.
Bit harsh.
But anyway, thank you guys for watching this episode. Had a lovely time. Any words to send them off?
I'm going to ruin football by spending loads of money and breaking loads of FFP rules, because my name is Todd Boehly and I don't give a shit. Goodbye.